First of all, I'd like to say thanks to all of you, especially to Professor Cole Duran. After so many international events we have been together, consider as friend, I dare to consider as friend. Thank you very much, Cole. And also Professor Robert Smith and all the members of the Brigham Young University. I'm going to talk about the religious perspectives on freedom of religion and church and state relations in the Catholic Church perspective view. In 2,000 years of church history, there had been many different conceptions and doctrines on church and state relations and freedom of religion in the Catholic Church. And for the shortage of time, as we say in French, en vol d'oiseau, I will highlight only those more recently and relevant, in my opinion. In modern times, the pioneer document in Catholic Church to proclaim the right of freedom of religion is the encyclical Rerum Novarum, 1891, of Pope Leo XIII, which affirms the right of freedom of religion as a fundamental right of human being. And the Pope refers specifically to the right of Sunday holidays and the right of each man to worship and to search God. The same Pope, Leo XIII, in the latter encyclica Immortale Dei of 1885, reaffirmed the old theory, very old theory, of the beginning of the Christianity, the theory of the two powers. Consider that we have ecclesiastical and the civil power in the same level and equal. It was a very difficult period for the church and state relations, with the end of the pontifical state, the suppression of religious order in several countries, and several others conflicts between civil and ecclesiastical authorities. He mentioned both power, civil and ecclesiastical power, as supreme powers, each of one in its own field, with specific limits, but following each of one their own finalities and nature. Till not long ago, it was very strong in the canonist juridical science, the conception of the church as societas perfecte, literally as a perfect society. The basic idea is that the church is not a society created inside a specific state or by the same juridical system, not like all other societies created on civil law that we can find in our states, but being the church created by Jesus Christ has in the voluntas, in the wish of Christ, the Son of God, as its foundational act and not the wish of the human being. Considering itself at Societas Perfecte, the church proclaims some specific rights. First of all, the right to exist as church, as community, right to announce and proclaim the gospel, right to teach the Christian faith, right to worship, right to have and build communities, and others correlated. This was the conception that prevails in canon law and in Catholic Church doctrine before Vatican Second Council. After the Vatican Second Council, we had a turn point in church and state relations. The prevalent conception after the council, after the 60s, had been the idea of the church not anymore only as societas perfecte, but the church as people of God, of community of Christi fidelis, we say in Latin. That means the community of the faithful in Christ. Those that believe in Christ gather together, those form the church, and they are the church, and the church are them. The Vatican Second Council is a mark in the Catholic doctrine about freedom of religion. To see its importance to this matter, it's enough to mention that exactly 100 years before, in 1864, Pope Pius XI, in a famous document called Syllabus, condemn as an error if a Christian affirms the right of freedom of religion, and also as an error, a sin, we could say, in more vulgar vocabulary, as the if anyone affirms the separation of church and state, or state and church. The Declaration Dignitatis Humanae of Vatican Second Council affirms the right to freedom of religion not only as a juridical dimension, but also as a theological value. The Vatican Council sees two pillars sustaining the right of freedom of religion. First, the pillar of natural law in relation to the dignity of each human being. Second, a theological pillar declaring the right of all human beings to search the truth, to know the truth, and to worship. Each man has the natural right to listen, to know the religious message, and to join or not join those beliefs. Freedom of religion is understood by the Council also in a double sense. I mean, by one side as immunity or freedom of do not suffer coercion in matters of religion in relation to the state. In Latin we say libertas seu immunitas a coercione in re religiosa. Immunity from the state as individual and collectivity and community. By other side, it has the objective of allow the human being to worship God. Even it is a different conception from the conception before the Council, the challenge for freedom of religion did not change, and the necessity of guaranteeing the freedom of the Church continues. In his speech to the International Barrister Association, Pope John Paul II states that the right to freedom of religion is founded not exclusively on norms of positive law, neither only on international human rights law. Pope Wojtyla affirms that it's not a right merely conceded, given by the state or given by international community, but it's the recognition by the state and the international community as of a right that belongs to each human being by natural law. The Church needs this freedom, needs to be free to accomplish its own mission. When applied to Catholic Church, we call this freedom, as in Latin we say, libertas ecclesiae. In a letter to the Church of Poland in 7 July 1981, during the communist time, Pope John Paul II explained this concept that he reassumes as identifies libertas ecclesiae, freedom of the Church, as freedom of religion and freedom of conscience. It's not a request of a privilege, but a request of recognition of its fundamental right as community to follow its mission. In other words, as Pope Ratzinger had said when he was a cardinal, he says in Spanish, so I speak in Spanish now, it is the derecho de la Iglesia a ser Iglesia y a vivir conforme a su modo de ser. Or being even more precise, it is the recognition of the right of the Church, the freedom of the Church, to be able to live and act according to its own natural mission and purpose. One very important concept in Catholic doctrine of our days is on church and state relation is the notion of laïcité, understood as a principle of distinction between church and state. The principle is also part of the Magisterium Pontificio, that means the teaching of the popes. In 1958, Pope Pius XII, in a allocution, in a speech in St. Peter's Square, used the expression sana laicità degli Stato. That means a healthy laicité of the state, giving legitimacy under the perspective of the Church to the secularism as an attribute of the state. According to this Catholic conception, laïcité is understood as a healthy cooperation between church and state. In this sense, church and state do not oppose oneself to the other. But in this conception, Catholic view of laïcité, they are both in the same service to the human being. And so between them must exist dialogue, cooperation, and solidarity, making distinction between the secular sector, I have no minutes, and the kingdom of God. I'm finished. The Pope had even considered the secular state as a benefit to the Christian community, a secular state as non-interference in the church affair, in the guarantee of the independence of the church. And then it's very important now, it's new, brand new. I won't read because it will be too long. But in December 2007, during his visit to Rome, the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, in his speech in the Lateran, St. John Lateran Cathedral, that is Basilica and the Cathedral of Rome, he used the expression laïcité positive. I did ask Professor Elizabeth Sever. She said it's impossible to translate into English, so I won't dare to do that. But it could be positive secularism. I don't know how to translate. Anyway, it's a new perspective on church and state relations. And the amazing thing, the odd, is that it comes from not from a religious authority, but from the President de la République Française, a country of the laïcité. And Sarkozy considered that there's no place anymore in Europe and in France for a laïcité that excludes church and or religion or belief. And that in this sense, resuming is the main idea. The religions and the state, they have and they must work together. He see the beliefs, religious belief, as a cooperation, a help to the state. And even more, he says that without religion, the state is lost something. It's never complete. And the religious belief, they provide something that the state cannot provide to the human being. And it had been a very important remark, but it's brand new. And now in September of this year, 2008, the Pope visited France, and the Pope Ratzinger now reaffirms the same idea of Sarkozy. It's an interesting case because it's from the President de la République of laïcité, very radical. Anyway, he denies also what we call, in French we say, laïcité de combat. That means a laïcité that consider the religions a damage or dangerous. And that's a radical change. But it's brand new. It's too new. We cannot know the consequence of this new approach. Thank you very much.